This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're getting ready to go out. You want to get in the mood. There's a playlist for that. You move to the beat. You trip over the dog. You're not dancing anymore. You open the Medibank app and find a physio. We live in an on-demand world, and now your health insurance comes on demand too. Download the new Medibank app today.
Away from Tigerland, a fighting fury, we're from Tigerland. In any weather, you will see us with a grin.
G'day everyone, and welcome to the first edition of Tiger Tragics, the podcast here on 1116 SEN that is unashamedly all about Richmond, and most Richmond fans I think can attest to the fact that they are all Tiger Tragics. My name is Mitchell Scott, I produce The Run Home and do a little bit around the trap. You might know me as the Whipping Boy. Sitting opposite me is Carl Bianco. G'day Carl.
G'day Mitchell.
We know Carl from being the man behind Evenings with Finey at the moment, and we'll be introducing Tony Shebeki into the podcast a little bit later as well. He'll be on the show each week. As we basically talk all things Richmond, good and bad and ugly, and we don't really want to give a... You know, we're not here to cheerlead. We're not here to just criticise for the sake of it. We're just here to speak on behalf of all the Tiger Tragics everywhere.
Yep.
We picked a doozy of a week to start. We were 5-0, and I had to cancel the marching band.
Yeah, I'm not overly disappointed, though. I'm not disappointed. This is probably the first time that we've had it's the first time in a long time we've had a start like this to the year where we're 5-1 after six rounds. So if we had it been 2-4... Then I'd be shattered. Then yep. I'd be like, right, okay, we've just lost to Adelaide by 76 points and it's not looking good for us. But we're 5-1. We're in the top four. It's six rounds in.
And who thought that going into the start of the year?
who knows what to think about Richmond anymore? But I'm satisfied so far. It's only early days, but to be 5-1 after six rounds, it's something to be... somewhat happy about, I think.
Well, we're a quarter of the way into the season already. It's kind of gone that quickly.
Yeah, well, think about it. If we had had four wins and two losses on the board, you only really need about 12 or 13 wins to make the eight. So, realistically, we're a quarter of the way already.
And, you know, we've got a couple of weeks ahead of us. We've got the Bulldogs this week, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show when we talk about... Nankervis might not be playing from the looks of it, so we'll get to that a little bit later. And Fremantle, and I think GWS the week after that. So
big tests.
Before we get started, I wanted to get to know you, Carl, as a Richmond supporter, and I want to sort of let our listeners in on being Tiger Tragics and how we got to this position. And tell us your story about being a Tiger Tragic, Carl.
I was born into a family of Richmond supporters. So it wasn't like I had a choice. I was a Richmond supporter as soon as I was born. And I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a say in it, to be honest. But I couldn't be happier decision in the end. And it's been a tradition, the Bianco tradition, to support Richmond for many decades now. So been Richmond Tragic for quite some time now.
So how many finals wins have you seen?
Only the one, 2001.
I'm the same.
I'm sure you're the same, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. Who was your favourite player growing up?
Richo.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
We all love Richo.
I just love Richo. He was my idol. And then one family day, I managed to be the last person to get his signature. And it was just like, life made. I got your signature on my top. That's it.
Done. Beautiful. And who's your favourite player now?
Well, that's a tough question. If you had asked me last year, I would have still said Lids. And then now that he's departed, I mean, it's hard to go past Dusty and what he can do. You know, just last week against Melbourne, he was injured. Well, we thought he was injured anyway. And then all of a sudden, he still gets 32 and I think kicks two goals.
And that last quarter, he really turned it on. He really turned on when the game was there to be won. And I think that's a really important thing about what Richmond is actually doing this year is that when the game has been there in the clinches, there's been a lot of games that have been won in that last quarter. And our superstars have been standing up. Cotchin is back to his Brownlow medal winning form, really, which we've covered. Dusty's doing his thing and in Brownlow contention this year. Jack Riewoldt's kicking goals when we need him. Not yesterday, unfortunately. We'll get to that shortly. My story is probably a little bit of a different path to yours. I wasn't born into a Richmond family. I chose the Richmond path,
right,
which a lot of people would go, why the hell would you do that? Why would you do that? Particularly given I was born into a Bulldogs family.
Right.
And for my first sort of 3 years, I suppose, as a football supporter,
yep,
that's what I was doing.
Mm.
And then I went to the football one day, round seven, I think it might have been, 1996, it was Mother's Day.
Yep.
Richmond played the Western Bulldogs at the MCG. It was a cold, rainy day. I was into my grunge music. I loved Nirvana. And out walks this bloke named Matthew Richardson with long rock star hair. He was 6'4", 6'5", and he's just clunking these marks, kicking goals. He was a rock star.
Yeah.
And they had this big song and this really, really loud crowd. They'd made finals and won finals the year before, made it to a prelim. Mm. And I'd been... You know, you don't want to let the schoolyard dictate a little bit of what you do, but I'm from an eastern suburbs boy from out in the outer east, and there's not many Bulldog supporters out there. There's a lot of Essendon supporters who, you know, at that time they were all on board the Baby Bombers train, so they were getting into, why would you follow the Bulldogs there, crap?
Yeah.
And I joke about it now with Terry Wallace every time he comes in here at SEN that I go, you know, I jump ship when you got on board.
Yep.
So I jumped ship to Richmond immediately, and sure enough, they came ninth that year. And that, I suppose, started the Tiger tragic tale of what we've all come to know.
Yep.
Over the years that we just fall short, we're just getting there, and it's not quite enough. Richo was my favourite player growing up, just like you, as a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yep.
And I remember queuing up outside What's New. Remember What's New? It was like a sort of, they sold calendars and little tidbits and gifts and some stuff at Knox City. And he was there signing calendars of the men for all season. So there was a really mixed crowd. There was kids who were, you know, my age, and then there was like, you know, 18 to 25 year old women who were lusting after Richo. And, you know, so there I am getting my jumper signed. Meanwhile, the next person's up, got the calendar out with his, with the rig out.
Yep.
Right now, I'd say my favourite I've got a really soft spot for Jack.
Yeah.
At one point there, I thought he might end up being the better Riewoldt out of the two of them there. Mm. I don't think that's the case now, but I absolutely love the bloke.
Yep.
It's been a travesty, I think, that he hasn't been in that leadership group for the last few years. He gives his heart and soul to everything that he does on that football field. I thought he was a genuine candidate to be captain this year.
Yep.
And every time he goes out there, I love seeing what he does. And like last week against Melbourne on the big stage, I was sitting there with Oxy getting stuck into him, and it was brilliant. I love Jack. I love Jack. Now, time to say g'day now to our third member of the panel who will be in with us every week moving forward. He's a very well-known voice around here on SEN. He is a Tiger tragic. He is the voice of the G, which is the home of the Richmond Football Club. Yeah, I speak, of course, of Tony Shebeki, the Shebekster. G'day, Shebex.
Hello, Mitch and Carl. Yes, very much a Tiger tragic. 50 years I celebrate my Tiger tragedy this year. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, so since birth, you've been brought right in.
Since birth, yep. Without a doubt, it was a family thing. Dad followed Richmond. My uncle, Uncle Tony. Everyone needs an Uncle Tony, don't they? he was very much a Richmond man, lived in Richmond, owned property in Richmond and all that sort of stuff. So very much. I had no choice but to be a Tiger man, and very, very proud to be a Tiger man. Well, at least I was up until 1982.
Well, between Carl and myself, we've only seen one Richmond finals win. We were just discussing before in 2001. So you've at least a little bit of an older generation. You've had some finals experience where you've seen some success.
I've had a premiership experience. I was there at the 1980 grand final where we beat Collingwood by 81 points, a then record margin in the VFL in a grand final win.
Jeez, were you doing the voiceovers then, were you?
No.
Started.
That's where I got the idea from. I was there with Dad and my brother, and we were standing up at the Ponsford end, which was our standing room for the grand final, and got to see KB do his magic and all those things. So, yeah, I'm probably the only one of the three of us that has actually seen Richmond win a premiership.
That's a somewhat depressing to know here in Tiger Tragic, since that's the sort of situation we find. Who were your favourite players growing up, and who do you sort of, whenever you go to see a Richmond game now, do you want to see the most? Who do you keep your eye out for?
Well, sort of through my early years, Francis Burke was probably my favourite player, and that was due to the fact that he actually went to Assumption College with my father.
Ah.
So they were teammates in the first at Assumption. So I sort of liked Francis Burke. And then as I got a little bit older, I think my loyalties went towards Michael Roach, our great full forward. Just loved the way, because I was a full forward as a junior. and coming up through until seniors, and then I became a full back. So, probably Michael Roach would have to be my favourite player, I think, out of all the Richmond players that I've enjoyed watching.
Took some hangers over the years, Roachie, didn't he?
He did.
Now, tell me, I could be wrong here. Now, I believe your son had a Richmond VFL connection at one point. Was that right?
He did. Played four or five games with the Tigers in the VFL 2 years ago. So, tell you what, you was you talk about proud moments. How good a moment was that when my son ran out into Punt Road?
Oh, I can imagine.
With a Richmond jumper on. Boy, oh boy.
Now, what would you say, and I'll put this question to Carl as well, and I suppose I'll have my say as well. How would you summarise the experience of being a Tiger tragic?
I don't know. It's sort of similar to what's that thing where you hurt yourself all the time?
I don't know.
I'll give you this answer again. I'm trying to think. A masochist, that's the word I'm looking
for. A masochist?
You just know at the moment that, Richmond, they're either going to finish ninth or they're going to be in the finals and not win a final. And we just keep coming back each year, just hoping that that's not going to be the same. But we probably deep down know that that is going to be the situation. And even going into this year, this year, I just had no expectations on the guys at all. And the fact that we've won, our first four games and lost to Adelaide, and I'm sure we'll discuss that shortly, but I'm nonplussed about it because you just feel that something might go wrong. I'm not going to get excited until like round 20 or 21.
So the lid's not off for you.
Clear into the eight, and I know that we're definitely going to be there.
The amount of talk last week when we did go to 5 and 0, and everyone was talking the lid's off. Richmond supporters were at a pain to keep it down.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there was everyone else external to Richmond was saying, "Oh, the lid's off." The lid'll be on until we're on the podium hoisting the bloody Premiership Cup,
exactly.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yep, spot on.
Carl, how would you summarise it being the experience of being a Tiger tragic?
Well, I would say personally, just like Shebeck said, hope is the best word to describe in the lead up, the pre-season and the lead up to the next season for the Tigers. In relation
but
to this year,
there's no expectations, is there, Carl? You don't go into a year with any expectations.
Not at all, because we could finish fourth, we could finish 18th. We just don't know. We don't know what to expect. We're always optimistic, though, and I was certainly optimistic knowing that we had Prestia, Caddy, and Nankervis as inclusions in our side for this season in particular. In past seasons as well, there've been a bunch of signings that I've thought, oh yeah, certainly going to be optimistic, and then we've ended up finishing 12th or thereabouts. So. Or in our traditional position of ninth that we've sort of claimed in recent years as well. So
I was optimistic when we recruited Richard Tambling ahead of Lance Franklin. And I was optimistic when we recruited Aaron Fiora ahead of Matthew Pavlich.
Yep.
And I was optimistic in hindsight when we recruited Reece Conker ahead of Dyson Heppel and Tom Lynch.
Yep.
You see, this is that side of us that I was talking about.
It's so easy to be a Richmond cynic, isn't it? Because we just, every time we think we're on the cusp, we just get ripped out again. It's just, it's bloody tragic. That's why we're Tiger tragics. But we love it. And I think that's the enduring thing of it all, is we keep coming back, as you said, Shebeck. We keep coming back every year for more, even though we know that there's something's going to go wrong at some point. Whether it might be a Richmond board upheaval or... a bit of noise there, Shebeck.
I just stepped out from where I was.
That's all right.
Just to work at the moment. So
no worries.
I thought I heard people chanting the Richmond song in the background there for a little while. I was getting a bit excited.
Not after yesterday.
Well, that's probably a good segue into yesterday. So the Tigers did experience their first loss of the season, going down to Adelaide 21-14, 140 to 10-4, 64. So a 76-point shellacking. Probably could have been uglier than that. Two goals to Jack Riewoldt, two goals to Oleg Markov, and two goals to Daniel Rioli. Cochin was the leading disposal winner for the Tigers. Also had with 26, also had six clearances. Dusty had his usual 25 and seven clearances. Did hit the scoreboard with a goal, but it was sort of a tale of one quarter and three quarters, really. Carl, how did you see it?
Well, again, I was optimistic. The first quarter, we certainly matched Adelaide, and I don't know what happened. We just went quiet after the first quarter. Rioli showed some positive signs in the first quarter as well, kicked a couple of goals. And how did he take that mark?
Oh, they won in the goal screen.
Yeah, how did he take that? That was a cracker.
Eight blokes around him, yeah. Did really well to come out with that.
It was as if, I just got this sense that, like, Adelaide maybe thought we played at our absolute optimum in that first quarter, and Adelaide were just sort of going, and it looked like it might have been a bit of a shootout. And then at quarter time, within about 10 minutes of the second quarter, you just got a sense that Adelaide was going to just wrestle it away from us, and pretty quickly in the end. I mean, what was it, 3.5, 4 goals at half time?
Yep.
It could have been more than that. They missed a few. We barely, our inside 50s dried up massively. Mm. They were first at every contest. Rory Sloane really started to influence. I thought Sam Jacobs was really good for Adelaide, and Nane Curvis probably didn't have the influence that he's had in recent weeks. And and even across the back line, there was Rance, and Rance did his usual thing, but Asprey probably got shown up for the first time this year with Taylor Walker playing outstanding. And it was a real lesson for Richmond from quarter time onwards. And I got the feeling, actually, going through it, that we looked a little bit like we did last year come that third quarter, where last year we didn't really have that. We had that slow, stagnant game plan. We couldn't get our run going. Jack Riewoldt kept having to come up to sort of the half back line to get his hands on the ball, which was our big fault last year, and we've been steering away from this year. And Jack had to come up a lot to get his hands on the ball, and we just didn't have that run and overlap that we've had all year with the leg speed to really open up and exploit Adelaide. They just would turn over, force the turnover. Their pressure was great, and they'd force it back off us. So I'm personally not as pessimistic as some have been today. I've heard on the talkback lines coming in here. Mm. Well, I think it was just probably a reality check that was needed.
It is hard to be pessimistic over that game yesterday. I mean, let's put it into context. Adelaide are by far the best team in the AFL at this point in time. I mean, they've beaten GWS and they've beaten Richmond, who are the only two teams, and everyone says that GWS is going to win the grand final anyway.
Yep.
So they by far are the best team in the AFL. We kept with them in the first quarter. We did pretty well, actually, in the first quarter, and there was hope. And once again, the thought that maybe something might come out of this. But then Adelaide turned gear and they put pressure. And what seemed to have happened in the past few years with our defenders, and it happened yesterday, was once there's a bit of pressure on our defence just seems to just crumble and make the wrong option sometimes. Yep. Handballs that should probably be, should have been kicks maybe 3 seconds beforehand. They hold on the ball a little bit longer. Handballs get turnovers and the like. And that seems to have been an issue with the Tigers for the last few years. And Adelaide exploited that, I would have thought, yesterday from that second quarter onwards. When our defenders had the ball, they ganged them. They had two or three guys come and attack our defenders. And at the end of the day, they just made some bad options. Balls were turned over and Adelaide did what they had to do. And they did it well.
Yep.
The first quarter was good. Moving into the second quarter, I thought, Rance probably should have gone on to Walker. I think that's probably the best thing that should have happened, because Rance is obviously an All-Australian fullback and we really needed somebody like him to be teaming up on Walker. But then, even if it was the case, I still think that, Eddie Betts could have ran free and kicked more goals, depending on who was on him. He didn't kick his 500th, nor did Jack yesterday. No. So that's, a positive from a Richmond perspective. We didn't let Betts kick his 500th against us. So
I think a couple of things came out of it for me from, an optimistic sense, is that that was only, it was a 76-point shellacking, but that was Adelaide's fourth highest score of the year. They have been putting on scores of 160 plus with ease.
Yep.
And yeah, we didn't probably hit the scoreboard, because I know they've averaged around about 90 points conceded Adelaide each game this year. We've only hit the 64, but they could have. It could have been really ugly, but it really didn't go that way. A question I wanted to pose to you both: Steve Morris's selection. Gary Lyon this morning here on SEN was critical of that and said it was probably Hardwick's first mistake of the year.
Yep.
And then he's been backing the kids in all year. We've seen Butler and Castagna come in and do great things, and Rioli's continuing to improve. And then he's gone back to the well with Steve Morris. The way I saw it is he had a clear game plan to try and pressure and run and beat Adelaide that way, because we went in with the one ruckman. We were going to use our smalls to our advantage. Clearly didn't work.
Yep.
But do you see it as a bit of a backward step to be going back to these sort of guys? I know he's coming off a knee injury and it was his first game in 12 months, but do we need to be putting a line through those sort of guys like Steve Morris and Taylor Hunt?
No, at the end of the day, Mitch, you've got 44 blokes on your list and you've got the availability to use those 44 blokes where you need to use them. Now, if Hardwick saw that there was a purpose for Morris to be in that team, then who are we to argue? It may not have worked, but at the time, there was the decision that he was going to do a job or he was going to have a reason that he was going to be in that team, you've got to give blokes an opportunity. I mean, you can't just keep guys languishing in the VFL and then expect them to come up in round 17 or 18 three or four weeks before finals and expect them to come up because you've got a couple of injuries. Guys have to be playing senior football when the opportunity arises, and it was there for Morris. Got no issues with that.
What do you think, Carl?
Again, it's a tough one because whether or not Morris was 100% in the lead-up to the game is another question to be asked as well. And well, I don't think...
That's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is a different thing. But, I mean, you know, you don't really want to have a player in your best 22 if you're not 100% certain on their fitness. Okay, if they're a standout like Dustin Martin, then that's an exception. And then you pose a risk of obviously playing him in your best 22. But Morris,
Do you think Morris is in our best 22?
No. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. No disrespect towards Morris. I think he's a great bloke and he's been a great player for Richmond and still has a lot of potential in the years to come. But I think we probably could have used a player like Lloyd yesterday.
Yeah.
He played in the VFL and kicked four goals in a loss against Port Melbourne. So I think it was disappointing that Richmond overlooked him. I think we really could have used, you know, a goal to save us around about that second quarter. If he had kicked a goal or two, if he was in the best 22 against Adelaide, it could have came to our advantage. It could have sparked something for us.
Particularly in that second quarter when the tide was going against us and we just needed to find something. The Castagna and Butler weren't really generating that. I think Rioli was playing with a bit of an ankle injury after that he did suffer in that first quarter. Reece Conker, actually, I reckon, might have been running the game out on one leg as well. I know that some of the commentary was saying no injuries, but I reckon he was running on one leg.
Yep.
That might be an exercise we might do next week, actually. If we all pick our best 22s, from the list and just see how it all matches up. One player who I don't... Sorry, Shebex.
I was going to say, it's just on this. I mean, Richmond losing yesterday, and I agree with you. Let's not just jump off and say, oh, that's it, season over. I mean, let's take this as a lesson for the guys. This is one. I think this is a sliding doors match for Richmond. Had we have won this game, we go 6-0, and all of a sudden, it's, you know, are we better than what we actually are? This was an opportunity yesterday for us just maybe to have a little bit of a reality check and the guys to realise that we still have a hell of a lot of work to do if we're going to be successful this season. Had we have won that game, maybe that thought isn't in their head. Maybe they're thinking, well, hang on, we're not too bad here. This isn't bad. We're beating the best team in the comp. I'd see it as being a really bad thing.
I couldn't agree with you more, Shebex. I think, particularly being such a young side now, that the propensity to get ahead of yourself really quickly for the sake of actually, you know, getting a couple of results that might have come as a surprise out of the back end of the season, is really important to actually just make sure that you come back in, take stock. Where can we improve? Where can we keep going? And we've got the Bulldogs this week, the reigning premiers, who, you know, up until last week against GWS, I know they got done, but they probably found their stride for the first time this year. So it's another big test for us. One player who probably won't be there, I think, is Toby Nankervis. We love the Widowmaker here at Richmond this year. He's probably been our best recruit, I think, out of the three. He stood up the most. He had a stray elbow, was it the third quarter, I think, on an Adelaide midfielder who held his tackle a little bit too long, threw the elbow back, got him flush in the mush. Could be anywhere between careless and low impact to intentional and medium impact. So he's probably looking at a weak medium in all that. Who do we now? Sean Hampson is on the long-term injury list, so he's not. I read over the weekend he's unlikely to play this year. Ben Griffiths is being rested with his concussion issues for quite a while. Who do we see coming in? Todd Elton was dropped for this game, but is he a number one ruckman? I probably don't think so.
No.
So our options for the ruck, I'd like to get your thoughts because there's Ivan Marich still on the list, but he probably doesn't have the legs that he used to get that travel around the ground. Mm. There's his coven, Ivan Soldo, and he'd have to be upgraded from the rookie list. And even there's Mabiel Chol, who is not really a ruckman himself either, but he is tall and he can jump. So what do you think? Who comes in?
Well, with those rookies, I mean, if we got anyone that we got on the long-term injury list that we can replace with the rookies, I suppose that's the...
I think when Hampson went on, I don't think he came off. But and the other one, I think Griffiths is an option to go on the long-term injury list, given he's probably going to have a spell for a while.
Mm. Yeah, well, if that's a chance, then my thought would be Chol probably comes in and you give him the opportunity. He showed a little bit last year in the couple of opportunities that he did get when we saw him, so... You know, especially pre-season wise, you've got to go with your kids, don't you? If you've got no other option, we're at the same sort of situation as Melbourne, haven't we, in regards to that ruck situation? I mean, the only other thing is you bring Marich in just to at least give you some sort of contest in the centre, and then, you know, try and get someone to cover him, basically just get Marich to drop back to a centre-half back position and be an extra back, and then get someone to cover him around the ground. But it is a tough one.
Yeah, I think that you need to get somebody that's got a sort of a bigger build to match the other ruckman of the competition. So I think that it would probably be a good chance to give Soldo a go as a ruckman, because he is young. And if we have to promote him to the senior list to provide him with that opportunity, I think it's worth taking a risk on. I think Marich is a little bit past it. He's, again, been a great servant to the club. If he did come in, which I think Hardwick will probably most likely go with, then he will have to be on his A game, I think, because we are playing the Bulldogs.
It's funny. I don't think we'd recognise Ivana if he came in, because he's got rid of the mullet. It's gone. Big Ivana. He might have, a bit like Samson, he might have lost his locks and lost all his power. It is interesting because the ruck, we don't really know what we're getting out of the ruck contest with the Bulldogs yet. It's Tom Boyd will either be full time or part time in there if Tom Campbell, who was a late withdrawal last Friday, comes up. And if Tom Campbell comes in, then I suppose we probably have to be a little bit more vigilant with it. But if it's Tom Boyd, I mean, his best and worst as a ruckman is pretty far apart, so you probably can take a risk with someone young and blood them, and maybe then Todd Elton comes back in as the second backup ruckman, because that was probably the one thing I took out of yesterday, is I don't think Sean Grigg can play that Jack Watts type second ruck role. He hasn't got the height, he hasn't got the leap. He's just got to provide a body there. And by the end of the third quarter, when he was in the ruck contest, he was just standing there and roving it. That's all he was doing.
Yeah.
I suppose at the end of the day, it all comes down to what Toby Makes Me Nervous gets, possibly from the next week or two.
Yeah, which we'll
have. If you didn't catch that, that's my nickname for him as well, especially when he's in front of goal. Makes me very nervous.
What, Nankervis makes you nervous in front of goal?
Without it, yep, he does.
I was actually more nervous when Hampson took a mark outside 50 and attempted to kick a goal, more so than Nankervis. I think he's got a better kick for goal, Nankervis, than Hampson. But that's just my opinion.
It probably brings a good point. I mean, we don't know. We think Hampson's going to miss a fair chunk of the season, but if he does come back in, I mean, Nankervis has got the mobility to go around and around. He's basically another midfielder. He's basically a ruck rover who takes the ruck contest, and he's got mobility. He's actually got some good lateral movement. If Hampson comes back in and plays, you know, the first ruck rule, Nankervis can be that Nick Riewoldt type runner who goes into the midfield, who's got the height, who's got the body, who, you know, clearly he's a good pressure player. But it may be a bit like, he's nicknamed the Widowmaker by some people because he just loves to get physical, and maybe a bit like Toby Green. We're probably going to see this where we are going to see the odd indiscretion where he does flatten someone, or he does throw an elbow out, and we like to play on the edge a little bit, because that's what gets your team up and about. And I think when your team is playing on that edge, we've seen a bit more of it from Richmond this year. It's we sort of get up and about.
Shea Mumford's a good example of that for the GWS, isn't he? Though he's a sort of bloke that has that weight, he's 140 kilos, whatever he is, and he uses it to his team's advantage. Sometimes it's not going to work for him, and that's probably going to be the case this week, where he's going to get, one would think, probably weeks for that liberatory tackle. But, you know, you need those sort of big blokes to have their presence to actually throw their weight around in the packs.
Bloody oath. Just before we let you go, Shebex, I just wanted to touch on a couple of some of the off-season issues, I guess, that have brought up from Richmond that we haven't had a chance to, because we're starting 6 weeks in. But the captaincy, the fact that Trent Cotchin kept the captaincy, and Jack and Alex were the joint vice-captains, and that's it. We've reduced the leadership group right down. What do you think?
Pretty much a traditionalist, Mitch, so I'm happy with that. I'm happy with just having, you know, a two- or three-person leadership group, a captain, a vice-captain, a deputy vice, whatever you look at. I think it just, if you've got too many people in there, there's too many heads, and it just muddies the water. I think if you've got, you know, your three most senior experienced blokes, and they're the guys that should be your natural leaders anyway. You know, guys who have only been playing for a year or two shouldn't be in a leadership group, because they're still getting their head around a football club, let alone having to make decisions on players who may be more experienced. Could you imagine a young kid at Hawthorn, and they've got a couple of younger boys on the leadership group there who have had 4 or 5 years experience, having to make decisions on Luke Hodge at the start of the season? I mean, what sort of pressure does that put on a kid? Get your senior blokes to be your leadership group. End of story. Tigers have done that well.
What do you think, Cal?
Yeah, I agree, Shebex. I think you don't have to be in the leadership group to actually show leadership qualities as well. You know, we've seen that through Rioli when we needed somebody to step up and kick a goal through the past 6 weeks. In some areas, you know, he's kicked a few goals that have come out of nowhere and really sparked our drive in the last quarter to get the fourth quarter done and finished and record the win. And I think it is good to see Jack back as a vice-captain as well. I think it's a long time in the making to actually get him back inside that leadership group, and the fact that we've got three core leaders that can represent us as captain and two vice captains is the best way to go about it.
For 1 minute, I thought Jack had imposed himself on a self-imposed captaincy band as well. He did a couple of years ago, but no, good to see him back on board.
Well, he's got his mic key topped up and he's ready to go. At least he's not running from running from the media anymore. Just on Daniel Rioli, you mentioned him before, Carl.
Yep.
This might be blasphemy, really. The Hawthorne, I hope there's probably not any Hawthorne supporters listening to this.
I'm going to say it for you. He is the best of the Riolis at the moment.
There you go.
Yep, agreed.
At the moment,
yeah.
He is just absolutely down and out the better of the two.
Yep.
Tuchel, unfortunately, I don't know whether he's injured, what's happening there, but he's had a shocking year this year.
Come end of his career, could he be remembered as the better of Cyril and Daniel, of the two cousins? Mm. One's won four flags. It's a bit hard. It's a big ask.
Yeah, let's not put too much pressure on the kid.
We haven't won a final yet.
if he's half as good as Morris, I'll be pretty happy.
Yeah.
Yep.
But look, he's going to be an effective player for Richmond for many years. Have no issues with that. Will he be as good as Morris? Will he be as good as Cyril? Time will tell. But let's not start making any predictions on that one. Let the kid just to run his race, and at the moment he's doing a very good job. But clearly, at this point in time in the season, the better of the two, hands down.
Once he played 20 games, he's got a long, long career ahead of him. Just before I let you go, Shebex, the last thing I just point I wanted to make, yesterday was probably the first time for this season where our small forwards set up, they fired in the first quarter, but after that they couldn't fire a bullet. We didn't really have a plan B. Is this the first sort of poor coaching performance we've seen of Damien Hardwick this year? Or
I'll put it more probably to the coaching of Adelaide. I think from my read and what I saw yesterday, and let's remember too, I was at the MCG with Geelong and Collingwood, so I was only sort of watching it on the TV out of the corner of my eye, but when something happened in Geelong, Collingwood, I had to do what I had to do. But my read on it is that Adelaide and Richmond have both gone out at the start of this game. Let's just let the boys play and see what happens. And that's the way it sort of seemed. And Richmond, due to that, had a little bit of an upper hand. Adelaide didn't have as much structure as they would have liked, I think, in the first quarter. And then at quarter time, Adelaide made some, you know, serious changes to the way they went about things, and as a result went forward. So I think they planned well. They did have a plan B ready to go, and that sort of jumped into play for them, and from there on they went well. So not 100% sure it was Hardwick's issue in regards to the way our small forwards play. I think Adelaide just had them covered.
Yep. I think that might be the issue that come round 16, round 17, if teams are using that game of Adelaide's as the blueprint of how to beat that Richmond setup, we'll have to come up with something. But we've got, 16, 17 weeks of the season left to do that. And we look forward to talking about it with you every week, Shebex. Thank you very much for joining us today. And we'll catch you in the studio next week.
Pleasure, guys. Look forward to it.
On you, Shebex.
Tony Shebecki there. Now, before we sort of wrap up today, Carl, let's have a look ahead. Saturday night, 7:25, Richmond versus the Western Bulldogs, Etihad Stadium. They've had our measure the last few years. Ever since I think Luke Beveridge has basically been in the job, and maybe the last year of Brendan McCartney's tenure, we at one stage there we were flogging them by 10 goals every year. Didn't matter who was who on the ladder.
Mm.
Now that's very much swung. The defending premiers, they've finally got their mojo back. What are you expecting?
Oh, it's a good question. We're both kind of on the rebound because we both recorded losses last week. Obviously, Bulldogs.
And to quality opposition as well.
Yeah, as well. Bulldogs narrowly to GWS in Canberra, and of course us yesterday to Adelaide in Adelaide. I think it's going to be a good contest, closer than what a lot of people are thinking. People are probably going to go the way of the Bulldogs based off their grand final win last year. But I think if we bring our best 22, obviously probably minus Nankervis, all depending on what happens with the MRP. But if Jack steps up, kicks a few goals, just like he did against Melbourne, maybe three or four, that'd be nice. A little handful. Rioli kicks a couple. I'd like to see Lloyd back in the 22 as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's been left out clearly because they're backing in the likes of Castagna and Butler.
Yeah.
And they could, because I think they've got that leg speed. But as we saw yesterday, because they can get found wanting.
Yeah.
They don't have – Sam Lloyd has X factor. There's just he can find a goal when the play's going all the other way and you need to find one. He can kick goals under pressure. We saw that last year against Sydney when he kicked it after the siren. He can kick them from all angles.
Yep.
He can play tall. He can take a good overhead mark.
Yeah.
Even if it's just on the bench, I wonder if they, you know, particularly maybe someone like Reece Conker might have to come out because of injury.
Yep.
If Daniel Rioli doesn't come up, like, there's actually even an MRP potential incident with Rioli as well for a bump that he laid.
Possibly, yeah.
In the second quarter there as a shepherd that he may have got the Adelaide player high. I think it was Crouch. I could be wrong there. They'll tweet in and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So there might be a force change there, in which case I'd like to think Sam Lloyd comes straight back in.
Yeah.
I'm not as optimistic as I might have been 2 weeks ago, but I think we'll really run them.
I think so too. The only other question I pose, and a lot of talk back last night on Finney's Final Siren, was to do with Prestia and whether or not he's 100%, and if he's not 100%, do we bring Miles in?
Yeah, I like Anthony Miles. Yeah. I think he's a ball magnet in the inside contest, and particularly against the Bulldogs, that's what you need. You need guys to go in there and get it, and who can use the ball cleanly, getting it out to those runners who are now using the ball well.
Yep.
Deion Prestia, I haven't seen him take a game by the scruff of the neck yet.
No.
And I know there was some word going around a couple of weeks back that he was, I think, leading into the Brisbane game, that he was a bit sore.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's not because I don't think he's a great player. As I said, I speak highly of the guy, and I think that he was a great addition to our team as far as he comes with Caddy. They're both great players, and they're certainly contributing to the form that we've seen so far this year. But based off a couple of the kicks yesterday against Adelaide,
the skew one,
it just has people
putrid.
Talking. Is he 100%? And if he's not, and he's producing kicks like that, maybe just give him a week off and give somebody that is pushing for a selection in the best 22 a go against against the Bulldogs, so that we can go in as close to 100% as possible and really give the Bulldogs a good contest and hopefully get the points at the end of the fourth quarter.
Hopefully, I think, yeah, you're probably right. Anthony Miles is probably the one who has to come in full press. Yeah, I haven't seen enough of the VFL this year to sort of make any judgments as to who's absolutely banging the door down. But every week when I see that team sheet and I see that Miles is an emergency, I go, really? Again?
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose you look at the way it matches up and you go, okay. Before we wrap up our first edition here of Tiger Tragics, a tip and your realistic tip. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
My tip would be Richmond by 12.
Yep.
My realistic tip will be the Bulldogs by about probably 3 goals.
That's what it's like being a Tiger Tragic. I'm tipping Richmond by 25.
Yep.
And realistically, I'm tipping them to get within a kick. I think we've got the game plan to match up with them. But I just think the Bulldogs have probably gone up that cog that they needed to. They were coming off a late training start because they had won the flag. They felt like going into this season they were about 4 weeks behind everyone else. They've got their legs going now.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm not going to take a loss to the Bulldogs by a couple of kicks as throw the towel, we're all out, the world, you know, we're going to finish bottom four.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's this feeling that from the greater wide world that what's going to happen to North Melbourne last year.
Yep.
Where they won their 9 straight and they never beat anyone of any real significance.
Yeah.
From there on, it fell into the 8 and then they've gone through this big period of transition.
Yep.
I think we're a little bit further ahead of that.
I think so too. Yeah.
So and that's the optimist in me, because we are going into this season, we were expecting nothing. We just didn't know what to expect. It could have been anywhere. I was, you know, quietly sort of, I didn't think we were bottom four, but I thought we were anywhere between sort of 6 and 12.
Yeah, spot on.
And given how close the season is now playing out, you look at those, anyone can beat anyone on any day.
Yeah.
And it's winning those games like we've done so far against Melbourne and against Collingwood, where good teams win ugly, good teams find a way to win when they have to.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% on that, Mitch. And I think also, you know, we're 5-1 now after six rounds. People really wouldn't have imagined that to have been the case. If we
God,
had
no.
been, say, 3-3, it would have still been passable. But we're 5-1. You know, even if we lose this week, we're still 5-2 after seven rounds.
And then we play Fremantle the week after that. And look, they can... They did get Melbourne on their day.
Yeah.
But... You know, if we play our best, we should win that. We go to 6-3, then we play 6-2, then we play the GWS Giants 6-3 after 9.
Yep.
You're halfway there. 12 wins should get you your finals.
Yeah. Well, I don't see a reason why we shouldn't be 7-3 after 10 rounds, to be honest.
Is it Essendon the week after that?
I believe
in the Dreamtime game. Yeah. And they've shown that they can turn it on, turn it off like anyone. Well, that's the first edition of Tiger Tragics. I've been Mitchell Scott.
I've been Carl Bianco.
And we look forward to your company each week. You can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes. It'll be up there today.
Yep.
You can also check it out through Twitter or on sen.com.au. We'll be pumping out a Twitter account as well. We'll have all those details for you next week. But Chebecki will be in the studio with us next week, the Chebeckster, when he gets out of the G. And we look forward to your company each week. We'll have some more interaction and we look forward to you joining in the conversation as well. Thanks a lot. The storm and revolt over the tide.